Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. Again, my name is John Krejci, and I'll be your host today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of our Autism and Scouting program. This core program is brought to you by Autism Empowerment, the 501c3 nonprofit that is sponsoring this program. To get more information both about Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting program after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org. You can join us Facebook, Twitter. We also have Pinterest now, and there's some other wonderful social medias, Google Plus, and some other things. If you're interested in any upcoming broadcasts or listening to any of the previous broadcasts in archive or podcast, we do have all the information on our website, and you can get that information there. First of all, we've been getting some good feedback about yesterday's show. We've had a lot of listens to yesterday's show. We talked about fundraising and working with scouts on the autism spectrum when it comes to specifically fundraising. We do have a blog that we're going to be posting probably hopefully tomorrow with a whole bunch of visuals, including a lot more content. So make sure you look at the blog as well and listen to yesterday's show. Our guest today, is her debut was last week when she talked about the troop that she is a scoutmaster for. It's Troop 5280 out of Denver, Colorado. This is a very unique group because it's a transitional unit. It takes scouts from Cub Scouts and coming right into scouts. They take them into their unit. They teach them some basics. They get them familiar with the scouting program, get them some footing, and then they find a home for them in a more traditional unit. I totally believe that this is one of the BSA's best-kept secret. This type of unit should really be replicated and duplicated in every single council throughout the country, both in Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. It's one of those very, very unique programs that's very, very special. So make sure that if you haven't heard about it, you go and listen to the podcast and let us know what you think. Today we're going to be switching a little bit to talk about something that every single scout, no matter what if it's Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, any type of scouting unit throughout the world, pretty much looks for it. They look for advancement. It starts in Cub Scouts when the Cub Scout in the BSA starts working on its Bobcat rank as the very first rank. Autism Empowerment will be giving two trainings for the Cascade Pacific Excellence in Training Conference, formerly known as POWOW. And one of the core topics that we're going to be talking about in the advanced training is about advancement. First class has a lot of once you get to the first class, that's where all of your core skills are learned, and then after that, it's more about leadership and teaching other scouts. But getting to that first class rank is very, very challenging. Karen today, I consider an expert in the field because she's been working with scouts with special needs as a scoutmaster for the past 5 years. She knows the ins and outs of advancement and really has a really great handle on this. So let's go ahead, and there's a lot of information, so let's get Karen on, and welcome, Karen.
Well, thank you. Glad to be back.
Awesome. Again, if you haven't heard about Karen's troop that she started in Denver, make sure you check it out because it's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
I want to first start with Cub Scouts because that's kind of where a lot of scouts start. Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts are definitely different as far as advancement goes. Can you talk, first of all, about Cub Scouts and advancement in Cub Scouts?
Yes. The motto of Cub Scouts is and always will be, do your best. It's where you start to have your fun. There is advancement in Cub Scouts, but there's not anything hardcore. I mean, you need to, do something for bear with the nut, whittling with the bear and things like that. You know, as long as the scout shows and proceeds to do their best, whether that means they can whittle a whistle or they can whittle the piece of soap into a circle rather than an oval, that if that's what's doing their best, that is their advancement in Cub Scouts. It's not more defined than that. It is that do your best, and as long as they're having fun in a safe environment, that is what we strive for, I think, as a leader.
Now, how is that different from Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts, boy. You know, Boy Scouts is all the rank advancement, the heavy duty, you go at your own speed, essentially, of advancing in rank. You do your own, you choose your own merit badges and how you want to go about doing those. They're more defined. They're definitely more defined if you want to advance to be an Eagle. There are certain things that you have to do. There's those 12 merit badges for Eagle you have to complete.
Absolutely. Let's kind of, there's different ranks, obviously. It starts at Scout and then Tenderfoot, second class, first class, Tenderfoot, second class, and then first class. There's a couple different areas that I want to kind of cover. First of all, in Tenderfoot, one of the requirements is to do push-ups, sit-ups, standing long jump, a walk, and then to show improvement after 30 days. That's where I find a lot of scouts having difficulty or kind of like initially having their first challenge. Can you talk a little bit about that requirement and kind of how you work with that with your scouts?
Sure. You know, there's two words we use, or one we try not to use in scouting in Denver. There's modification and there's accommodation. Modification, especially if you're one of those hardcore scoutmasters, means you're changing something. Automatically, you're changing something. We are not trying to change anything for scouts with special needs. We are accommodating, which means we take the spirit of that advancement and we take the spirit of that merit badge and we accommodate it to make it work for that particular scout. What may work for one scout may not work for another. For example, if you're in a wheelchair, your chances of doing the long jump, for example, is not going to happen.
Right.
It's just not going to happen, you know. But if you have autism and you can explain, okay, you need to jump from here to here, and they can grasp that, or a traditional scout can grasp that, then you can do it that way. But for that one scout that can't grasp that one part of the advancement, we need to accommodate. We need to make sure that it's something they can do, that's a challenge for them, that still is in the spirit of that advancement.
Now, for example, you brought up the standing long jump. How would you provide an accommodation for that with someone in a wheelchair?
Okay. Generally, I ask either the parents, or sometimes the parents will ask or bring in their physical therapist. And their physical therapist will come to one of our meetings, or their occupational therapist, and will say, okay, this is what the advancement book says. This is what they have to do. What can we put in place that's a challenge for this young man that's still along these physical fitness lines that they can do, and let's work on this, and let's show how he makes an improvement in that 30-day time.
Right, and I think that one of the things that I was thinking about when I was looking over this requirement was, how do you define improvement? Is it improvement in technique? Is it improvement in quantity, in time? I mean, it could be improvement in technique, which would still be an improvement.
Right, exactly. You know, that is, once again, that is in the eyes of that scout and that scoutmaster. And perhaps, if I had the physical therapist or occupational therapist in there with me, it is in their eyes what has been an improvement. I had a CP young man in my troop that, you know, he had no verbal skills, but we figured out a way to do these things, and his physical therapist came back and said, this is what he did, and this is what he did when we started, and this is how far he came since then. And there was an improvement for that scout. He made an improvement. And that's what you're really looking for. You're looking to challenge these young men. You're looking to give them, not only have the fun factor, but you're looking to challenge them. You're looking to give them solid self-esteem. And you're looking to get them to advance if that is what they want to do. Now, I've also had some of my scouts that said, you know what, Mrs. Mansfield, I really don't care if I get to Tenderfoot. I just want to do the fun stuff. Okay. You know, I'm not going to push you to do
Absolutely.
Anything you don't want to do, but I am going to challenge you while you're here, whether you advance or not.
Right, and along the way, they may just end up advancing. Just
exactly, exactly, exactly. I had a little boy with the knots that was that way. He was like, you know what, I don't care if I'm a scout. I don't care. These knots are too hard. And it was, you know, we just had some different colored rope, and we were sitting there one day as we were talking in a meeting, and he was playing around with them, and next thing you know, he's tying all these knots. I'm like, look at you go. You know, you did it. And boy, the smile on his face was worth $1 million.
I think that's a hard time because a lot of times families don't want to push their kids with special needs too hard because they feel, you know, they're overprotecting them sometimes.
Oh my goodness, John, that has been our biggest challenge, has been these parents, because oh no, he can't do that, he can't do this, he can't. Bull, he can do it. It's just a matter of you letting him go to do it. I had one young man that would not get on a horse. For all the tea in China, he would not get on a horse. Petrified. He'd go up, he learned how to pet it and groom him and all that kind of stuff. This last time at camp back in July, we got him out there and we all rode a horse, and he walked up, and once again he was petting and grooming, and I walked up to him. I said, okay, are you ready to get on? No, I can't do this. I went, whoa, back it up. Okay, you can do this. You're just not ready to do it yet. And he looked at me. I said, right? And he says, yeah, I can do it. I'm just not ready yet. Perfect. So we changed his mindset right there. He can do it. He just wasn't ready yet. And boy, in another 10 minutes, was he ready. Boy, he went around that ring about 4 or 5 times. He had a blast. But,
yeah, changing the parents' mindset is a lot of times the hardest thing.
Right, exactly. And that's part of the reason anymore. We don't allow parents, for the most part, unless they've been invited by us for whatever reason, we don't allow parents to come with us to summer camp on activities when we go out to the zoo and do zoo trips or whatever we may do. We generally don't invite our parents along because we find we get so much more out of these boys when their parents aren't around than when their parents are. Because
say,
the parents are right there.
Yep.
Oh, no, he can't. Oh, yes, he can. Watch him. You know, he may be slow. He may be, you know, a little timid, but he can do it. You watch.
That's fabulous. I had on our Autism and Scouting Facebook, we had a parent that wrote in. She was very frustrated. She had a 13-year-old son. Has been in scouting for a number of years. Boy Scouts, is at the age of, is at Tenderfoot, but can't make second class. and first, obviously first class, because of the swimming requirement. The scout has had over a year of swim lessons, and it's just they're very he's starting to get frustrated, and she's beside herself trying to figure out how she can help her scout. And I guess this is one of those things where I was hoping that you could talk about the modification versus the accommodation as well, as how they could provide an accommodation to get past, you know, this next step.
Certainly. Once again, it's semantics. First of all, you never want a scout to get so down on himself and what he's doing that he gives up. Because that's not good for his own mental well-being. That is not a good thing. Obviously, this scout has a disability in learning how to swim, whether it be a physical disability or some kind of a learning disability where he just cannot learn how to swim. And you know what? Not everybody can swim in this world. It's okay. What I would say is, you know, if you just automatically say, well, we're not going to do the swimming requirement and he's going to, that's a modification. You are changing what the advancement is. That is unacceptable. However, to accommodate for this scout who has tried everything he can try, there is nothing wrong with throwing a kickboard in the water with him or having him use a noodle. And using that to get, you know, the length of the pool and back, and to do the backstroke, float on his back, float on his front, whatever. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That is an accommodation for that scout. You're not doing it for all of them. You are accommodating for that particular scout to be able
because
to advance.
I was going to say, in this particular case, the scout has been making a large effort to try to get to that next level.
Mm-hmm. And
already.
You know, there's probably a reason that he can't learn to swim. It may, like I said, it may be a physical issue. He may not be able to, you know, his brain may not work well enough to get his arms and legs to kick and swim at the same time. You don't know. You don't know. It may just be a learning disability that he just can't get it. You know, there are some things like kids in science and math are perfect examples. They just don't get it. And it's a disability. It's that learning disability piece. There is nothing wrong with the swimming disability. It does not say that you can't use a kickboard or a noodle to get in there and do it.
Would a floating device, like a personal flotation device, would that be kind of crossing that line, or would that still be an accommodation?
You want him to be able to do it him to be able to feel safe and secure and to do it. Now, with a personal floating device, that you're putting something around his waist that is could be kind of getting in his way of doing it, okay? If he can wrap a noodle around him at the same time. He can lay on top of a noodle. I wouldn't say no to a personal floating device. I have never given that as an option. I've never needed to, for the simple fact that the kickboard and the noodle have always done the trick.
Because it's still challenging enough for them.
It's still my goodness,
them the
this poor kid, how much more of a challenge does he need if it's taken him a year to learn to swim?
Right. That's awesome, because that's a huge issue both for second class and for first class.
Exactly. And obviously that's not going to be the merit badge he chooses when he does his Eagle merit badges. Obviously he's going to choose biking or hiking rather
right.
than swimming. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why those three are there.
For example, my son, he's not a really big hiker, so I don't see him going out on those 50-mile hikes. And my oldest is he's turning 13 and still doesn't bike. So for him, his option is going to be swimming. So
if your oldest wanted to on the biking merit badge, there's nothing that says he can't have training wheels on his bike.
Ah, very good.
You know, think about that. There is nothing in the biking merit badge book that says he cannot have training wheels because he can't bike on two wheels.
Understood. The 50-mile hike, I don't see happening, though.
Right, no. That's a tough one. That's a tough one for the adult leaders that have to go on it with these kids, you know.
Another one is some kids don't like camping and going out and spending a night in a tent. And one of the requirements is to specifically is to pitch a tent and spend a night in a tent that you've pitched. How do you accommodate for like sensory issues and things like that for scouts?
Okay.
Do you have any issues with that?
Oh yeah. Is there anything in that book that says they cannot pitch that tent and sleep overnight outside in their backyard? No.
Absolutely not.
It says nothing. If they have that sensory issue, and, you know, you've got to, one of the big things that you have to really make sure you understand, is this something that the scout just refuses to do, or is this really a disability, or is this really, there's a sensory perception here of disability, you know, it's not just that they're going to be scared of leaving mom for a night, you know, I mean, because typical scouts have that issue too. So
right.
One thing that as scoutmasters I think we really have to sit down and look at and give ourselves some leeway too is, okay, is this really a disability or is this just a scout that just doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to be away from mom and dad, doesn't think they can do it? That's something you have to think about and as a scoutmaster. Now, if there really is that disability, that sensory disability, there is nothing that says they can't do that in their backyard. They are in a controlled space. They are in a space that they are very familiar with. They're comfortable in their backyard.
Because it says patrol or troop, so you could have just the patrol go over and spend the night in the backyard.
That's right.
It doesn't even say, it just says sleep in the tent. It doesn't say to sleep overnight in the tent. I mean,
that's
obviously...
Right. I think that's a kind of a given, but
right.
I mean, as a patrol,
right.
You can all go in that backyard and you can spend one night.
Right, absolutely.
You know, I mean, and how many scouts do you know, because I have a child that did the same thing, that go on these campouts and they don't sleep through the night anyway. You know, they're sitting there talking with their tent mate
right.
or tent mates, and they don't get much sleep anyway. So, you know, if the patrol comes together as a true patrol should, then there's no reason that can't happen.
That's fabulous. This is some wonderful advice. Now, turning to a lot of the second and first class, a lot of knot tying. That's, for my son, that was, again, another one of those huge obstacles that he had to do, the lashing and some of the knots. Can you explain how you work with a scout when you're working with knots and lashings and things like that?
Mm-hmm. We always use two different colored rope. Always.
Mm.
We use neon colors if we can find it, different colored ropes. We make sure we use thick duct tape on the ends so that they're easy to grasp. We make sure the rope is thick enough that it's easy for them to grasp in their hands, because a lot of these kids, you know, once again, not only with their sensory perception, but their grasp isn't real strong. So when we use the two different colored ropes, it's a lot easier for them to see and to feel what they're doing. And we will make big knots. I mean, it's not little ones or whatever. You know, we will make a nice size knot so that they can follow. And we usually have a lot of one-on-one with each scout so that they have an adult partner that helps them through the whole thing. But we really found that the bright-colored rope, nylon rope, really helps.
I'm just making some notes because these are fabulous ideas.
Not a problem.
Well, for my son, what we did, we had him watch, like, a whole bunch of YouTube videos.
Right.
he's a very visual learner, and a lot of times he'd be able to, once he saw something, he would go be able to see it on like a video or something like that, and then go and try to replicate it. I mean, it took him a while, but he did get
it. Oh, sure.
I mean, even though he's passed out of that first class stage, he still has challenges going back and doing the different knots and lashings and stuff. But he did conquer it at one point.
Yeah. Well, and that's great. And you know, if you use the two different colored ropes, and a lot of these kids are very visual learners. You know, they can't sit there and read it. But if you have one-on-one assistance with them, and you have them watch you. This is how you tie it, and then you say, okay, let's do this together, and you will, step by step, show them how to do it. They can generally get it. It may take a couple times, and then say, okay, now that you've done it, let me see you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm terrible with knots. I know the monkey fist for wood badge was my undoing. And the woggle, and doesn't matter how many times somebody showed me to do it, I just couldn't do it. There are just some things certain people's minds just cannot grasp. And knot tying is one of them for a lot of these kids. I mean, for a lot of adults, you know, trying to teach us to do it a couple times to get it so that we can teach the kids is you know, you can't just say, well, they have a disability, so, you know, they're not going to be able to do it. Hey, you know what? I don't have that kind of disability, but sometimes you have to show me 3 or 4 times. So it goes back once again to that education and knowledge of the adult leaders to say, you know what? This has got nothing to do probably with their disability. This is just something that we all need to work on because this traditional student is having an issue with it as well. So either I'm teaching it wrong and I need to better learn how to show these scouts how to do this, or this scout just may need that extra time with me to learn how to do it.
That's fantastic. I'm just looking at the clock. We have about 3 minutes left. This time
okay.
Just goes so fast. I definitely want you to have back on. I'd love to talk to you more about hiking and camping
sure.
with your unit. So we'll hopefully we'll have Karen back on if she agrees.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Awesome. And is there anything else you want to – I'll give you the last, like, 2 minutes to talk – basically to talk about the modification versus accommodation or whatever you'd like to say. So you got 2 minutes.
Okay. You know, I think the most important thing is we don't want to change what Lord Baden-Powell put into practice so many years ago. It wasn't his intent. But – he did not have the disabilities I think we have today. His main focus was having fun with a purpose, teaching these kids self-esteem and things like that and knowing how to survive in the wild and doing all these different things. There's nothing different today except now we have to look at accommodating for all these kids that actually need it. You know, schools are doing it with IEPs. So scouting kind of has to follow along with that and say, you know, okay, this child is on an IEP. Obviously, there's a reason. So now we have to figure out how we're going to do our own little miniature IEP and accommodate for some of these things. These scouters need extra time, need extra talent, you know, of our talent, to make them succeed, because that's what we're trying to do for these kids. We are trying to get them to succeed at something that is a wonderful area for them to grow in.
That's actually a great lead-in, because actually next Wednesday we're having Tony May, who's the chairman of the BSA Special Needs, and he's actually going to be coming on talking about Invisual Scout Advancement Plans.
Tony is awesome. Tony is a wonderful man.
He's been on a number of times, but he works with a website called Working with Scouts with Disabilities, and they developed an Individual Scout Advancement Plan. We're going to be actually expanding on the advancement theme next week with him and talking about those. So, again, Karen, thank you so much for everything.
You're welcome.
We definitely will have you back very soon, okay?
Great. Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.